a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Are the Texans good enough for another all-in move? No. We're not talking about an all-out move like that BS clickbait article from Newsweek suggested the Texans could be on the verge of doing. Relocation. If you saw that article, read it. It is just the exact same article that Joe and I discussed about potential Texans getting a new stadium. Mm-hmm. Like it's just that article, and at the very end, there's a passage in it, and the passage in it is a load of absolute nothing, and it drives me crazy that people get employed to write this stuff. Quote, it would appear that instead of asking taxpayers to cover the massive costs in terms of renovations, the Texans might choose to spend that $1.4 billion on a brand new state-of-the-art stadium and a brand new location. The title of this article read, Texans Considering Relocation. And it says, it would appear the Texans might choose to spend billions on a brand new location.
Yeah. They're going to relocate, Paul. To downtown or the other side of the street or to a new building. They're going to relocate.
Just drives me crazy that people.
It's a garbage article.
Past that, and it's you got the clickbait term that a team, that a city that has dealt with the team relocating, you're going to see that and you're going to get pissed off. I mean, this person knows exactly what they're doing. His name's James Brizuela. His focus is on comics, comic book movies, and video games.
Oh.
But he also has in-depth knowledge of the NFL as a whole, having been a fan over 30 years and covering the sport over the last 6 years. He knows the in and outs of the comics world, too. Okay?
People move. People move in comics.
They move relocate.
They move universes in those. So maybe that's what he means.
Anyway, I want to get to the original point. Sorry, that was a tangent that no one honestly probably cares about. But they're not relocating. Don't worry about that. Texans fans. Now, Joe, you ask this question. Are the Texans good enough for another all-in move? What do you think about that?
Because this is from Garrett Wilson, that people at the ESPN article that's suggesting that the Texans trade for Garrett Wilson. We're assuming that's going to take, what, at least two first-round picks at a minimum?
Two first-round picks for Garrett Wilson?
I would think so.
I'm out immediately.
Or first and a second at this point? I mean, you're giving up major draft capital.
Still out immediately.
Yeah. Like the idea of, I know they don't need a pass rusher, but guys like Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons, these big-name players are going to be available this offseason. And I was just thinking, does it make sense to trade for anyone of that caliber with where the roster stands currently? Because you need, three offensive linemen? Probably. At least two offensive linemen. You need two wide receivers. You have questions at safety because of health and age. You've got questions at the interior defensive line because of guys that are free agent. There's just so many. There's a lot of holes on this roster. And the Texans went all in last year. And what did it get them? It got to the same exact place they were the year before. They won the division and they won one playoff game.
A slightly more respectable exit.
Yeah. And that's all got you. So does it make sense to trade a bunch of draft capital right now when you need young players, when you've also gone all in already with your cap space? And yes, they can maneuver stuff and they can open up room, but they've put themselves in a position with way less flexibility than if they were more patient. So my answer is no. I don't think they're in position to go all in this offseason on a star player, because I don't think it just fixes enough of their problems. Even if you're trading for a great right guard, maybe you're not giving up a first, but you still have so many other spots to fill. I just don't think giving up a ton of draft capital, to me, makes the most sense right now.
That's the only thing I would do it for, is an offensive lineman. That's
right.
It.
I think it had to be a tackle, right?
Could be a tackle. If you're giving up that much, it better be a tackle. But if you're making a trade, it's to address the part of your team that needs the most help, that is very unlikely to get that help year one in the draft. And offensive linemen are generally just behind schedule. No matter what, they're probably going to struggle their rookie year. The offseason has made it very difficult for an offensive lineman to come in and succeed right away. And college schemes have also gone in a direction away from
making lives difficult for offensive linemen, you know, actually putting them through situations that they're going to be tasked with in the NFL. That doesn't really happen in college anymore with everything being as spread out as it is. So these guys are coming in, and I mean, if they end up being good, great. It's very unlikely, though, that you're going to get the immediate returns from an offensive lineman, where if you trade for somebody who's established, you theoretically can get that. The problem is, the only players who are probably going to be traded by their respective teams on the offensive line are guys that team is not 100% sold on, whether it's giving them another contract or the idea that they are worthy of a big-time contract at the end of their rookie deal.
Yeah, it's almost like you'd be acquiring another team's version of Titus Howard to add to this team, where, yeah, the Texans could look into trading him because no one's sold if he's a left guard, if he's a right tackle, if he's a future member of this team. You probably don't love his salary with where it's at right now with the production that you've got in return. So like, are you going to go all in for a guy like that? No, because very rarely are guys like Laremy Tunsil available on the trade market. Like when teams don't typically do that.
I mean, that's how Bill O'Brien got him, was by trading 2 first-round picks. It was so unprecedented to trade 2 first-round picks for a tackle that at the time was maybe top 5.
Yeah.
I mean, he was definitely one of the best tackles in the league, but I think it was debatable that he was that high up. 2 first-round picks.
Yeah, and that's why if it's 1 first-round pick, because I wouldn't describe that as like an all-in move, trading a first for a really good offensive lineman or wide receiver, if that's the path that you really want to go down. If you're going to move on from the 25th pick in the draft, like, that's fine for me. But to invest a ton of draft capital, so more than a first, whether it's a first and a second or 2 firsts into your roster, which is where they stand right now, I just think they need to slow down a little bit from where they were last offseason. Where last year they really thought they were in a position to win, and then they just didn't do it. So I think you just got to develop a little bit instead of just push it all in again. Or you do what the Rams did and just say F them picks. Just trade all of it. Because if you're going to do it, you might as well go all the way in.
But you don't want to go all in.
No, I don't. No, I think they need to build through the draft. I just think they're ready to win right now. So I think trading a bunch of draft capital instead of getting good young players is a mistake. I'd rather have that second round pick back than what you got from Stephon Diggs last year.
Yeah, this team is not like one move away, or even like one offseason of moves away, I think, to being a Super Bowl good, to looking at the Eagles and being like, we can beat the Eagles. I think they're just a little bit farther than that, just with the tools that they have at their disposal to fix these things. If it was just the wide receiver room looking how it looks and you felt awesome about your offensive line, that'd be one thing. If it was just the offensive line looking how it looks and you feel awesome about your receiver room, that would be one thing. The fact you have both these huge issues to address, that's before getting into like the, so Dalton Schultz, we're just run that back at tight end, hoping that Cade Stover maybe supplants him. It's a lot of hoping that you develop these guys, hoping that Hutchinson or Mechie step up, like we've been talking about for 2 years. Like, you're hoping for these things, and with the holes you have on offensive line, you're going to have to draft a guy, and like Paul said, you're going to have to hope he's good, or you're going to have to accept that it might be more than a one-year project to get him to being a good offensive guard or center or wherever you're going to put him. So I just think you can't think of you know, one-year move. You have to think of, I mean, your quarterback's in year, just finished year two. Like, you have a longer runway to this thing.
With the offensive line and the receivers, and even the tight end room as it is, yeah, you're probably grinding that. You might even be taking a little bit of a step back this coming season to give yourself the leeway to have the most flexibility over the course of the next few years. I know that Derek Stingley's likely extension that would come this offseason could help and give you a little extra space to do something crazy, but the offensive line is going to take enough of a reset, I think, where, yeah, the all-in move is not going to be the difference. And maybe one of the benefits of this past offseason is that you did all of these moves, and while you were better, you weren't better to the degree that you were going on a serious playoff run. Now, maybe a deeper playoff run is as simple as just a little bit of luck where, I don't know, oh no, Patrick Mahomes is out for the year or something like that. Like, I do think that could theoretically be just as much of an obstacle that's been in your way over the last couple of years. And I think now you do wonder, okay, how did the Chiefs handle this hangover after getting their absolute skulls beaten in after going for a three-peat? Like, they got to be worn out. Or yeah. It's natural, human nature, to take that final step back that we've been waiting for them to take for a while.
Yeah, it could be Chiefs kind of fall back to you a little bit. Could be Ravens or Bills fall back to you a little bit, and all of a sudden now you're feeling better. And there's also the upgrade that – or what the Texans hope and what they're going to tell you is an upgrade at offensive coordinator. Maybe that's the, like, aha, now things are just going to click better. Like, this group will just click better now that they're in the Nick Haley offense as opposed to the Bobby Slowick offense.
You hope that, but that does go back to you are hoping that Bobby Slowick was Chris Broussard. You are hoping that Bobby Slowick is the biggest idiot that's ever set foot into a locker room, and that Chris Strausser, offensive line coach, is the biggest idiot that's been an offensive line coach ever. That is asking a lot, because there have been a lot of dumb coaches over the course of the NFL's history.
Yeah, you're trying to go from Silas to Udoka. Like, that's basically the – you're looking for the offensive coordinator equivalent of going from this guy's one of the worst in the league to going to one of the best in the league.
Yeah, and if C.J. Stroud is going to be the quarterback that going into last year that we thought he was – that's why I don't think you need to trade for Garrett Wilson. Like, he should be able to bring in a rookie wide receiver and have the player have an impact. Like, we see rookie wide receivers be excelling all over the place. Like, if you draft Emeka Ogbuka from Ohio State and reunite them together, like, then that should be enough for C.J. Stroud. If he's the quarterback that he wants to be, that we thought maybe he was going to be, then, like, he should be able to elevate the talent. The priority is to be fixing the offensive line, because he can't fix all that. But he should be a good enough quarterback where, like, he can elevate the wide receiver room enough.
Yeah, it doesn't even need to be the guy from Ohio State, you know? It should be anyone. It should literally be anyone. It should be a third-round receiver.
Herbert.
What about Gronk?
Yes, that's what I was about to get to. Because Denver Sports 104.3 had this today from someone named Cecil Lammy, who is a digital talent for DenverSports.com covering the Broncos. Per sources, Rob Gronkowski wants to return to the NFL, and the Broncos are expected to be in the mix. Nick Caserio, it is time to put on your throwback Pat Patriot 87 Rob Gronkowski jersey and start schmoozing, talking about that Patriots success and how the Patriots, with Nick Haley, former Patriots tight end coach,
there we go.
That's are back.
That's the connection.
They're just in Houston now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
We see it in the transfer portal all the time.
Will it work? Don't know. Do I care? No. Rob Gronkowski, Houston Texan? Yes. Soundbites galore.
Nick Caserio also can show Rob Gronkowski that Tom Brady had lunch with C.J. Stroud that one time. Boom. And Tom Brady seemed to take a keen liking to Mr. Stroud.
I would love.
Does he see his possible successor like Jesus saw Peter?
Mm.
You know? I don't know. Just asking the question.
He's just like, Gronk, help him get there. Lead the way.
You have to lead the way when I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
For those who need to see football greatness.
The idea of Rob Gronkowski coming out of retirement right now is so funny. Has it been 2 years? Since he played last?
I think he sees that Travis Kelce doesn't have that dog in him anymore, and now he just has to play the amount of years that Travis Kelce's played since Gronk's played. And I think that'd probably be like 3 seasons or so.
And I think he's been out 2? Because didn't he retire the year before Brady retired?
No, I thought he retired with Brady.
Gronk retired in 2022.
Okay.
So a year before Brady.
A year, okay.
Okay. And he also retired 1 year in between. No, he was on the first Bucks team, right?
Yes.
No, but he retired. He missed 19.
Yeah, he missed the year with the Patriots.
Gronk played 2010 to 2018, 2020 to 2021.
Okay, so
he's been out for 4 years then.
Yeah,
and then that 1 year in between.
He took a 1 year off.
He's got to rest his body a little bit. He's good to go.
He was beat up by the end.
Yeah. Right? Bring him back. If Gronk wants to play football, Gronk can play football.
I will say,
it's the year of the comebacks for the old guys. Gronk, JJ, they're all coming back.
They are all coming
back. Is Tom coming back next? Tom Brady, future quarterback of the Jets? I don't know.
Probably the Raiders.
Probably, yeah.
I'd love to see this happen.
How fast would you buy a Rob Gronkowski Texans jersey?
Well, right away. Here's the thing.
I feel like that's the jersey for you to get. Like, if you're ever going
to
get a jersey.
He has to make it to week one. We can't have a Tebow situation, a Jags Tebow situation.
Right. But here's the thing. I think as an offensive lineman, but as a blocker, like, Gronk was always one of the best blocking tight ends ever. So
that's what I was thinking, because he's obviously going to be a part-time player.
Right. Like, he's not going to be the guy he used to be if you bring him in.
I think him in, like, a two tight end set being the guy you run behind, like, I don't know, maybe.
If he still has it, I mean, he still has it. Yes, exactly. I mean, because the other thing is, I mean, you're hoping Brevin Jordan's going to be healthy again this coming season, and that's certainly not a lock that he'll be the guy that he was before he suffered whatever injury it was that kept him out pretty much all of last year. I forget what injury he suffered.
It was a knee injury, right?
Tears ACL?
I think it was an ACL.
I forget. I just remember he was gone and didn't think it would be that big of a deal, but it ended up being a pretty big one. Honestly, if they had a tight end capable of blocking all year long, because Schultz ain't.
Or catching.
And Cade Stover ain't. Yeah, Schultz's hands. Yikes. It was that Schultz contract's probably the worst contract of the Nick Caserio era.
Yes, I think so.
I mean, maybe you say the same thing with Shaq Mason, giving him the extension, but at least Mason had one decent season before
Kenyon
this past
Green's,
year.
Rookie deal?
Yeah, just drafting
Kenyon
Green as
just hit him on his rookie contract.
I mean, those are your top three misses for the Caserio era.
Green,
Shaq, and
Then Schultz. Schultz, the second contract.
Yeah, because the first Schultz was fine.
Like, yeah. Yeah, I agree. Those are the big three misses.
You know who else is fine? Our beloved Googs.
They are.
Big win last night. We do have to mention it at least once an hour. I want everyone
Our beloved Cougs!
I want everyone to bask in the glory of this one. Bask in the glory. Rower. You see somebody out there who's wearing some Cougs gear? Mm-hmm. Throw up a little Shasta. Throw up a little Shasta. Roll down your windows. Play a little Womp Womp in the background. Right? Like the greatest song that has ever been heard on a college campus. A little Womp Womp. Cougars. It's the mother loving Cougars, except for the words aren't mother loving.
This is what we can say on the air.
I wonder what they tried to teach the kids at college game day on national TV. What's the alternative version? What's the clean version?
Did they do the clean version on game day?
They must have had to.
No.
Must have had to.
No, you let it fly.
Well, they don't let them do neck for an LSU college game day game.
That's true.
I'm sure that the people for the Cougs that were in charge of setting up game day were pleading with the students, please do the PG-1. About them Cougars. Thank you, Junior Broncos.
It just would have been, you know, how much I drank that day, if I was going to listen or not.
I would not have listened.
It's at 7 in the morning.
I would not have listened, no matter what.
It's 7 in the morning. I mean, I imagine that
Fireball at 6 a.m.
The campus kids that showed up there that maybe are in frats or something like that, they might have shown up, libated, if you will. But I am curious to know if everyone behaved. What made it to TV, because College Game Day is, I believe, pre-recorded. What made it to TV versus what actually could have gotten on TV. I wonder how ESPN played with the audio on that.
I mean, because it's not the same as, you know, obviously the football version of College Game Day, because Cougs fans know you can swear on that one.
Yeah.
Because of course I did it.
Right, but he gets carte blanche. Because they're like, well, Lee's still with us and we're happy.
Well, it was
just
like 10 years.
It
was like 10, 15 years ago whenever
when he said F it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It had to be at least a decade ago.
Oh, my
ago.
God. I was going to say, I don't think it was that far ago, because I think it was like Tom Herman era. Tom Herman era was about a decade ago at this point. So, yeah. I think they had to have been for the like Herman Louisville game or something like that, right?
That sounds right.
Yes. No, it was SMU. That's who they play.
Oh, Southern Mansion?
Yeah. Wow. This looks like 12 years ago.
12 years
ago. Oh, I miss Lee Corso being that Lee Corso.
Yeah.
The new version. Still on it.
What are you doing, you little midget? That's probably my favorite one. Paul, that's demeaning. Yeah, but it's just when Lee Corso says it, It's not demeaning.
Yeah, but if Lee says it, then it's just like, it's okay.
It's just Lee being Lee.
It's just the old guy at the dinner table, you know, for family dinner.
It is funny how there's only a few people on TV that are allowed to say whatever they want. And it's basically, in the sports world, Charles Barkley and Lee Corso.
I put McAfee in there at this point,
yeah,
too.
I think McAfee's up there, too.
Because
yeah,
he's letting it fly on game day.
Mm-hmm.
Making Nick Saban uncomfortable.
That was basically game day at Tech. I mean, for a Monday, that's about as rowdy as you're going to see a college basketball crowd get. And to see the Cougars go on the win, on the road and win like that was very cool to see. Congratulations to all the Cougs out there. I'm a bandwagon Coug. Maybe the greatest Coug fan, despite being a bandwagon Coug, because I chose it by choice. I didn't, you know, go to the university. This wasn't a financial transaction. This is me following the strong, as I want to do. But this is a really impressive thing that they were able to accomplish. Two Big 12 titles, your first 2 years. Again, this doesn't happen. The programs won two regular season titles to open up their 10-year INSEAD conference since 1923. It's over 100 years.
Yeah, and that's not even, it's not even the same.
Idaho and the PCC, which I'm guessing was the Pacific Coast Conference.
Yeah, it had to be. But like, it's that's why it's, you look at what the Cougs are doing, like of all the realignment that's happened, they've probably been the most successful team of anyone that's moved to a new conference.
Huh.
Maybe Texas in football?
Yeah, but Texas has had a pretty good start to the SEC, but they do not necessarily have anything to show for it.
Yeah, they didn't win the conference.
Right.
Because Oregon didn't win the conference?
Oregon did win the
conference. Oregon did win the conference, but this was year one, right?
Yes.
So like they have another year to go. They have to win it again next year.
It's them and Oregon.
Yeah,
they're the college basketball version of it, and Oregon's the college football version.
Yeah,
of it.
I think it's not even really a close competition to anyone else. I would imagine
SMU in the ACC.
Yeah, that's true. Big time ACC champs.
Texas? Didn't they win the baseball conference last year? Didn't they win baseball last year?
No, but they won.
They were in the Big 12 last year.
Oh, that's right.
They won the Jim Schlossnagel Invitational.
Well, because U of H and the Big 12 expanded early.
That's right.
In response. And so they're like 1 year of.
And Texas ran because they were scared.
Yep. Yeah.
They saw the Cougs coming and they said, see ya.
Yeah. They're like, peace.
We can't win a basketball anyways, but now we definitely can't win.
Yeah. Actually, they're pretty good though, in the Big 12.
They never won a conference twice.
That is true.
So not that
good. I mean, I was thinking more after Chris Beard got hired.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But what about Shaka Smart?
Shaka Smart stunk. And I was anti Shaka Smart very early.
I called him Shasta Smart because I had Shasta on the brain.
You did. I was just going to. I thought you were making some crack. A little Paul Gallant. Jokey over there.
Sometimes those jokies are accidental. And that one was accidental. No? That's pretty good. I like how you kept in the no at the end of that draw. That's pretty good. All right, Cougs are Big 12 champs after their win over Texas Tech last night. You want to gloat, you can. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, the 10-minute drill. It's very funny to see the Eagles scramble in the wake of the rumors that they would not go to the White House. And plus, the NFL Combine is underway. We heard from D'Amico Ryans. And what's going on at the quarterback position across the league? Stay put. You'll find out.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Yes, football. It's a sport. But sometimes sports intersect with the little thing that we like to call politics. And it was very funny yesterday after we talked in the 10-minute drill about a report that the Eagles would refuse the invitation to the White House after winning the Super Bowl. At 4:45 p.m., both Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport tweeted out the exact same thing, which means it was very likely a coordinated effort to do damage control for the Philadelphia Eagles, who looked like a bunch of raging libs. Adam Schefter tweeted this: to those wondering, Eagles sources say the team is planning on visiting the White House this offseason and looks forward to receiving its invitation. Ian Rappaport wrote, the Eagles would be honored to visit the White House, team sources say, after conversations today. It's one of the aspects of winning they are excited about and look forward to receiving the invitation. They both wrote the exact same thing at the exact same time and posted it at the exact same time.
So they get a group chat.
Yes.
From someone from the Eagles.
Or perhaps individually sourced messages, Joe, to each of them, and they were very quick with the thumbs, and next thing you know, hey, the Eagles would love to go to the White House. They're not libs.
There's no way. It's fully coordinated. For them to be posted at the exact same time, unless they're both just like, they type the same speed, it's so coordinated.
I get a kick out of the brazen nature with which these billionaires are licking the boot of the new man in office.
Yeah.
And I suppose had things gone the other way, they'd be doing the same thing, because these people don't actually believe in anything. But it is funny. The Eagles did not, during this climate, want to look like they are refusing a White House visit when they've already refused a White House visit in 2018.
Yeah, and we're still not even sure they're going to go. Like, I know these reports say they're looking forward to the invitation, but now, like, I'll believe it when I see it, I guess. Again, I don't really care that much. I think the response, though, that you have two, like, your two most high-profile reporters having to tweet this story at the exact same time to defuse this, I guess? I don't know, like...
But also, like, was the report from yesterday, was that, like, wrong? Or did they,
change
in 24
mind?
Hours, catch so much heat from all the conservative Philly fans being like, I quit this team 2 weeks after they won the Super Bowl?
I wonder how many actually said that. I mean, it might have all been because John Rocker said, like, you're going to have to be called the Philadelphia Pigeons going forward. I'm John Rocker.
You know what it probably was? Did they mention John Rocker in the press release? I mean, the report by Schefter and... Rappaport.
They did not.
He's a needle mover. Whatever he says goes. He wants to fight people. I guess he can't fight everyone because the Mahomes are soft. Because they won't let Patrick Mahomes Sr. fight him, which they should have.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, there you go, guys. The Eagles will be going to the White House, and they felt the need to use the Bobos themselves of the NFL media, Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, to circulate this news so that their reputations would not be harmed. NFL Combine's underway. The Tennessee Titans have the number one pick. They've already fielded calls about it. But at the same time, Brian Callahan, the Titans head coach, believes that Travis Hunter can easily be a wide receiver and cornerback. Seems like cornerback is where he will be working out at the Combine with players of that position.
And I think he's going to do some receiver stuff at the Combine too now. I think he's a corner in the NFL. But I think it depends on who drafts him, honestly, how they want to use him. But I would put him at corner and just, like, let him play some wide receiver. But I also feel like we're at the point now where I watched a lot of Colorado play. I feel like we've overrated him.
Damn.
Yeah. They're
NFL scout Joe George here.
They want to use that G word, Paul.
What's that?
Generational. Because he plays a lot? Because he plays a lot of snaps?
It is generational.
Yeah. No one's done that before.
I mean, we haven't seen this in a while, so I think it's fair to call it generational.
But their talent, they're saying, is generational.
Yeah, he's really good at both positions. I mean, I don't think Desmond Howard was doing this much on the offensive side of the ball.
No, but I just...
And Charles Woodson, Charles Woodson won the Heisman, same thing. Like, they were all over the place, but...
They used Charles Woodson the way that we're talking about using Travis Hunter in the NFL, where it was like... He played some wide receiver, but he was a cornerback. Like, Travis Hunter just was a full-time at both positions.
And, like, but people are just talking about, like, he's going to be top five on both positions. Like, a corner and receiver.
I mean, he won the wide receiver award and the best defensive player award.
I know. But, like, I don't see it in the NFL translating the same.
At which?
Probably wide receiver.
Okay.
We'll see. I mean, I think Dark Stingley would be a good wide receiver. I think Derek Stingley would have been an interesting case study to see if there are other guys who can play both corner and wide receiver. And, get this, the Texans feel like they are hamstrung as far as talent at wide receiver. Why not use Derek Stingley occasionally at that position?
I'd be for it. It'd be fun. Mm-hmm. See what he can do out there, a little reverse action. I mean, they need wide receivers, so let him play both ways.
Quarterback changes. We got some updates on that at the NFL Combine. Kirk Cousins is officially the backup moving forward in Atlanta. That's not surprising, given what we saw from Michael Penix when he stepped in Atlanta at the end of last year. The Steelers say all options are on the table for quarterback. I guess Trevor Lawrence never actually won. There were some rumors about him potentially getting sniffed by the Steelers a few weeks back. And the Giants say they will look under every rock for a quarterback.
Does the Kirk Cousins one surprise you that they're not just going to try to find any way to get out of that deal? I know they'd have a ton of dead cap space, but I feel like someone would be desperate enough to give up something for him.
I mean, they can still do that and say he's going to be their backup.
That's true.
They can say, we plan on taking him to the... we want to have him as our backup. And then someone's like, here's a third-round pick. They're like, sold.
Yeah. You get a third for Kirk Cousins. That's a huge
win. We can find another backup quarterback.
That would be good.
If you get a third for Kirk Cousins, that feels like great after the way he played at the end of the year.
Yeah.
He was terrible.
Yeah. He looks like he should be a backup. He's got that job stink on him.
That's what I was thinking. That's a little bit of what it felt like, where he just like fell off a cliff immediately.
You have an injury like that, whether it's the Lisfranc with Schaub or it's the torn Achilles with Cousins, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're up there in age. Good luck coming back.
It's still funny to think he threw for 500 yards in a game this year, though.
Yeah. And then
like, he went like scorched earth for 1 week, and then that's when like all of a sudden he fell off the cliff.
That to me is almost worse. That he did show that he could still be good, bouncing back from the Achilles. And then he had a terrible stretch where it's like, that's where it becomes shabby, because it's like, ugh. Like, you might have just lost it, dude. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if it's a confidence thing or what. Or maybe there's another injury, and that's a different issue of now he has, like, knock-on injuries because of coming back from the Achilles. It's just... No thanks. No thanks on Kirk Cousins. If I'm a team and I'm looking for a quarterback, I'm not looking for him.
I'd be like, you can stay at Atlanta, buddy.
Not me. You're not coming to my organization.
Lots of people at the NFL Combine are bitching about the tush push. I saw that Raheem Morris, Atlanta Falcons head coach, said this is something that should have been banned years ago. And Sean McDermott said that it's a danger to players across the league.
I just feel like, you know, players' safety and the health and safety of our players has to be at the top of our game, which it is. It's just that play to me has always been the way that the techniques that are used with that play to me have been potentially contrary to the health and safety of the players. And so, again, you have to go back, though, in fairness to the injury data on the play. But I just think the optics of it, I'm not in love with.
Is this going to be on Soft Boys tomorrow?
Yeah, but I'm also just confused.
A lot of shoving.
They run the play.
But a lot of shoving going on.
But he runs the play. If it's that unsafe, then why do you call it? Like, you're going to talk about player safety? You call the tush push. The Bills run the tush push. So like, I don't.
They don't do it well.
No, they don't, but they try to do it. But I just don't understand how you can like go up there and like, say, like, he's going to, like, it's a big player safety problem, and then you're going to call it on fourth and inches. That's strange.
Live by the sword, die by the sword?
I guess.
Or just like, hey, it's on this unsafe play. If he dies, he dies. I'm just trying to, I'm Sean McDermott. I'm trying to keep my job here, guys.
Yeah. Although, I mean, he's done a pretty good job. The problem is he just keeps on rigging to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
No. And then losing.
I mean, it is the tush push. Like, I don't know. It's a group of people coming together to advance their goal. I think Sean McDermott would really enjoy that because you know what it reminds me of.
Oh, Paul? My God!
A group of ragtag individuals. Man, almost 25 years ago now.
Oh my God, Sean! Unbelievable. But
Sean McDermott would get behind
McDermott that. Stopped. He stopped before he started talking about that. We cut
every
that
time,
out.
Every time he talks for more than 10 seconds, I'm like...
You think it's coming?
Here it comes.
I'm just always in the danger zone of what he's going to draw inspiration from.
Just don't be Pearl Harbor. Don't be 9/11. Don't be
anything.
Yeah.
I mean, with the recent plane stuff going all wrong, I mean...
Yeah. Almost happened again today. Yeah. Southwest Airlines at Midway almost happened today. Plane was landing. Another plane was crossing the runway. Plane pulled up last second.
Last week, I was driving past the San Antonio airport.
Almost hit you?
No, I mean, there's a plane that was going to, was landing and driving past it. You know, when the planes get ready to land, they look really low.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. I was just staring at it. I was like, please do not, please. I do not want to be on the news.
No one does.
Didn't hit me. Landed safely. I also got to my parents' house safely.
That's good. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You made it. We all made it.
A plane didn't fall on me in my car.
That's great.
We are getting closer and closer to Astros opening day, March 27th. And as we continue our countdown, a congratulations is in order for a new Astro who did something big time today. Stick around.
Back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Cougs are de facto now Big 12 regular season champions. How about that? Now, I suppose theoretically they could end up with a share of the Big 12 championship. Say things don't go according to plan the next couple of games, but they have clinched at least a share of it with three games left in conference play before they wrap things up. And considering they just beat Iowa State, yes, a Iowa State team that wasn't 100%, and a Texas Tech team last night that, yes, also wasn't 100%. Very, very cool to see them do it, and it does seem like it's going to be very easy for them the rest of the way before we get into Big 12 play, Big 12 tournament play in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, if they have to lose out the rest of the way at this point?
And they'd still get a share.
And they still get a share? That's not going to happen. They're not going to lose out. Kelvin Sampson, they're not celebrating, Paul. They're not gonna take their foot off the gas. They're going to keep going.
No, you can't take your foot off the gas.
Because then you'll go anywhere.
Exactly.
You just kind of slow down.
That's very true. Learned that in Fast and Furious. Also, I learned that by driving a car.
Yeah.
And getting my license in Florida. Let's just say that the graders at the DMVs in the great state of Florida, they're rather generous. Perhaps can't do math, but that's par for the course in this little game that we like to call life, especially here on the Gallant and George Show. We can't do math on the fly. So when you ask us how many days it is until the Astros open up the regular season against the New York Mets on March 27th, I'll be honest, couldn't tell you. But I'll give you this countdown and a little bit of bone.
Another year, another inevitable AL West title.
For the fourth year in a row, and the seventh consecutive full season, the Astros are the AL West champion.
We're counting you down to Astros opening day 2025 on March 27th.
It's a lot of people that count us out early. We don't quit. We got grit.
We are built for this.
Let's go!
30 days until opening day for your Astros.
And all right.
Today, Joe, we saw something incredible. What we saw was Christian Walker get his first hit as a Houston Astro. Astros, bang! There we go. So that's neato.
I think Paredes did too.
Hell yeah!
Or he at least was on base when Christian Walker got his first hit.
Either way.
So he touched the base, though. That's good.
And some solidarity. One guy gets on the base. The other guy moves the other guy around while he's on the base. Teamwork. Astros already showing incredible team chemistry with these new guys. No Altuve yet. No Yordan yet. No Jeromy Peña yet. They will make their debuts at some point during the week. Altuve will be in left field.
I can't wait to see it. I hope that game's on TV.
I can wait to see it. Because it's spring training baseball. Today's game was on TV.
I can't wait to see the highlights of Altuve in left field. How about that? That way we don't have to watch the whole game. Just whenever the ball is hit to him.
I need the all 22 tape. Or I guess it would be the all 10 to 14 tape.
Yeah. Or just give me, or can we just get a solo camera just on Altuve?
Yeah,
a dual shot.
Mm-hmm.
A game on the right, like when they used to break in with Aaron Judge during the Cougs football game. Just put the whole game in the corner and put Altuve in left on the big screen.
So their next television televised game on the Space City Home Network for spring training, because they're not doing every single one, is Saturday at the hated New York Yankees. You might have beards.
Not that kind of fast.
That's what?
Did they grow them that fast?
Some people
to
can.
To be well groomed?
We can.
That's true.
We can grow them that fast, though. I mean, at least it'll be the perhaps stubble-fied New York Yankees and the Astros. That'll be this coming Saturday. So that's neat. We also have an update. The Astros plan on this year, giving lighter workloads to their relievers, specifically Josh Hader and Brian Abreu.
That's interesting. Because I don't really know how you accomplish that if you don't trust anyone else in your bullpen, besides just like treating other guys as sacrificial lambs. Because I mean, last year, like, they were overworked so much because they had to be. Like, there were so many games where you needed those three guys, including Ryan Pressly, to be out there on a nightly basis. It felt like. So they can say they're going to do that. I'll believe that one when I see it.
Dang.
It's hard to predict that.
Are you calling the Astros liars?
I'm just saying you can't guarantee. I mean,
our Astros? Our beloved Astros?
Yeah.
Would lie to us?
Yeah.
That's never happened.
Never. They lie?
No. They're always very straightforward and honest with us, whether it's talking about injuries or talking about their negotiations with longtime stars. Always forthcoming as it gets. No sarcasm there at all. Nope.
None detected.
Not by me. Lance McCullers update 2025. He threw a 35 pitch bullpen this morning.
All right.
I don't know if that means, Joe, from a mound or from flat surface.
I think he's on a mound.
Oh, let's go.
Velocity. I think.
Yes.
Well, maybe not. Because now I see a video from yesterday. Oh, he's on a mound. Okay.
He's on a mound.
Yeah,
but is he on the mound?
No, it's a wood plank.
A wooden plank.
Yeah, so it's not like a mound. It's not dirt.
Gotcha.
It looks like in this video, at least.
His velocity is 89 to 91 miles per hour, and he is expected to throw his first live batting practice this weekend.
You believe yet? Are you ready to buy into Lance McCullers being back yet?
No!
No.
Someday.
I think even after his first game back, I'll want to wait until like the next game to see what happens. To make sure he doesn't get hurt in between starts.
Yeah.
Like, so like until he does like back-to-back starts. I'm like,
Let's make sure he doesn't get injured opening a water bottle. You know, there's enough elbow movement.
It was the champagne bottle.
But if you twist open a plastic bottle, Joe, you could injure yourself very easily. You know, think about the wrist movements, the elbow motions, the tendons, the arm bones connected to the elbow bone.
That's true.
The elbow bones connected to the shoulder bone. The shoulder bones connected to the neck bone.
Yep.
Now hear the word of the Lord.
Those are all the bones.
Them bones, them bones.
Them bones.
That's a song. I'm not kidding. That's from like Bible study that I somehow remember from 1994 Lutheran nursery school again. And I'm sorry for everybody. That I brought that up.
I think he'll be okay opening a water bottle.
I don't know.
No.
You have people on the staff that can open that water bottle for him.
Now, like, if he had to, like, open, like, a pickle jar or, like, a salsa jar, like, now I'm concerned.
Get some hot water on the top of it to make sure that is expanded as much as possibly can. Yes, Lance McCullers at home.
Injury risk.
Mrs. McCullers, please make sure that Lance is not opening any jars. That he's being very, very careful with his hands. Need some help out there.
Yeah, just kind of. Everyone else got to do the work. He doesn't touch anything besides baseball. Doesn't drive his own car. Don't let him do anything. Can't make his own coffee.
Anyway, I think that's true. Yeah. He can't make his own coffee.
Well, he's got to like hold the coffee, right?
Yeah. If you're using beans and you put it in a grinder,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of pressure that you have to put on the top of the grinder to make sure
it grinds.
That all the now I'm assuming that he has the fancy $7,000 coffee machine in his home.
Oh yeah.
I'd like to think that at least, but maybe he doesn't. I don't know.
I mean, it could be old school. You think?
Well, he uses a French press.
Yeah. He seems like a French press guy.
No.
I'm sure just he uses whatever Maven uses. Just gets one at his house.
He probably has a Maven machine at his house, yeah. Yes. I would assume that Lance McCullers has a $10,000 coffee machine at his house. He likes coffee. And
he's made $50 million a year the last 3 years.
That's like, true.
He's got to spend it on something.
If I made that kind of money, I would 100% have one of these in my home.
Would you just have like a barista in your house too?
No, I would. No. But I would figure it out. But literally the top of my list is like a $10,000 coffee machine in my house.
That's like if you made $50 million, that's the first thing you buy.
Yes, not love.
I do know you
not
love
a house.
You
not
love
a house.
Coffee, so like it does make sense.
A coffee machine,
and you just use it once at the start of the day. And you just drink from that same pot for the rest of the day, right?
Rest of the week, sometimes.
No, see, but I feel like if you're going to spend that much money on a coffee machine, Paul, like, you have to make fresh coffee more often. You have to change your habits.
No.
It's still good.
You can't waste anything. There's sober children who have never known the taste of caffeine, the effects of caffeine in Utah, okay? And I will always make sure that I'm not wasting valuable caffeine rocket fuel.
Yeah.
Even if it's been out for a week in the Gal Media lunchroom studio. People think that's gross.
How far is too far? 2 weeks? It's there for like we go on Christmas vacation.
If I don't know.
You come back.
If I don't know, I'm not going to ask.
It's a don't ask, don't tell policy.
It's truly don't ask, don't tell with the coffee.
Good to know.
Probably would be pretty gross after 2 weeks. I'll admit that.
It's gross after a week. I give you like 24 hours.
Well, yeah. 24 hours is fine. A week, probably not great.
I mean,
2 weeks,
only...
okay. That's probably where we draw the line. But I'm assuming that no one's going to leave out a coffee pot over 2 weeks over Christmas break.
I mean, if it's Christmas break, there's literally no one in this building basically half the time.
That's true. Anyway, guys, we're getting closer and closer. We have a big Astros question that Joe will ask in the final hour of the show. Is there another trade the Astros could make that would be splash-esque, but maybe wouldn't involve Nolan Avocado? So that's on the table. Your Cougs are Big 12 regular season, at least co-champions after a big win over Texas Tech last night, if you want to celebrate that one. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Stay put. ¶¶